This is DJ Kick, and you're listening to Steve Kelly Delivers, where you get a glass and a half of inspiring, influential, and interesting guests with every podcast. You can follow Steve Kelly Delivers on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Steve Kelly Delivers is listener-supported on Venmo.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Episode 9 of Steve Kelly Delivers. It is a podcast that brings you quality entertainment first class. If you go to my website, stevekellydelivers.com, from there, you can find all my social media accounts. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, Steve Kelly Delivers is a podcast supported by listeners just like yourselves. So, if you like the content of what you are hearing, you can rate my show on iTunes. You want to first find me there, Steve Kelly Delivers. And while you're there, write a review about my show, and don't forget to tell your friends about me. The other way that you can support my show would be to friend me on Venmo. If you make a donation to my show via Venmo, I will then reward you with an acknowledgement on the intro portion of the following episode. And now, with no further delay, let me deliver my awesome conversation to you as I introduce my next guest, a financial guru of sorts, Brian Brandow. Brian, thank you so much for appearing on my show. Glad to have you as a guest.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. Well, Brian, the first thing that everyone would love to hear about is the website that you've created called Debt Discipline. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's a site I've had for almost 5 years now. It's a site I created as my family and I started our journey out of getting out of debt. It's a site that we really started to help us stay accountable to ourselves as we were getting, like I said, getting out of debt. It was a way to keep connected to the personal finance community and help us, along our way of getting out of, getting out of debt. And but it changed over the course of the years into helping, helping others with similar situation, being in debt and struggling with finances. It's become more of an educational website and helping families and individuals in similar situations. They're struggling to understand finance, personal finance, and how to get out of debt.
Speaking of, it's an interesting fact that you brought up the educational aspect of this, because that's another thing that you've done is you've actually implemented like a financial literacy program into the local school districts up there in Long Island.
Yes. So I got involved. Once we really kind of got our financial knowledge under our belt a little bit, and really felt more knowledgeable about the subject, kind of a light bulb went off and said, what can we do to help others? And I'm a dad of three children, and we were working with our kids on teaching them the things that we were learning and wanting them to know more about, personal finance. And I started to talk to them about what they were learning in school about the subject, and they weren't really learning anything. And so I was surprised, because I thought the school would be teaching, the school district would be teaching them, life skills, things that they would be using in their adult life, preparing them for, post high school. And they really weren't. And so I approached my superintendent at a Board of Ed meeting and asked, what could we do to try to incorporate some of this, material, the personal finance material, into the curriculum, at the high school. And she was very open to the idea of having feedback from the community and parents within the district. And she was actually forming a few committees to, elicit this feedback. So I got involved, and I've been involved for the last 4 years with the district and Board of Ed, and working with trying to help, help better prepare students for, post high school. And one of the things that I focused on, obviously, was personal finance. I became a chair of a personal finance committee, and we developed a curriculum for, the entire district, K through 12, and we presented an outline to the Board of Ed, which was approved, and now we have a curriculum that's being taught at multiple grade levels throughout the district, and the idea is that students would have, curriculum at the elementary, at the middle school, and the high school, so that they're better prepared when they leave high school to understand, money and personal finance topics, so that when they get out into the real world, they, they understand how to handle, at least have a better understanding of initial concept of money.
And, isn't that something when it comes to the education process, like the general curriculum in schools, they really don't teach us life skills. And this is something financing, everyone needs to know it. And that is just so great that you were able to work with the, superintendents and everything and implement this into the curriculum in schools. That's definitely inspiring right there.
Yeah, I think it's, just important to, it's a lot different. Students today, and even, when I was in school, and I'm sure when you were in school, there are things that we wish we would have learned. Just certain life skills that, how to, handle a resume, how to network, how, certain life skills. We all had the home economics class, I think, that, taught us a little bit of how to cook and how to sew and things like that. But I think there are more of those education opportunities that school districts need to look at, and certainly how to handle money is one of those things, because we handle money our entire lives, and so if you don't have any education on that topic, you can certainly get yourself into trouble along the way.
Yeah, and well, in my case, when it came to home economics, I think that taught me how not to cook as opposed to how to cook, Like, it taught me, okay, stick microwave dinner in, 7 minutes, stir. But, hey, but, it's still a learning process. All right, and now the concept via website, it seems simple enough, debt discipline, but that's not really, when it comes to being disciplined with debt, I know that you yourself have a story to talk about where, and this was your inspiration for creating debt discipline. Would you want to tell my listeners about the mountain of debt that you had to ultimately climb and grab a hold of and take care of yourself?
Sure. Yeah, it was really, and that's really where the website initially started, and that's really where the name came from. Debt discipline was because we had a mountain of debt. We were planning a summer vacation, and I was trying to figure out how we were going to pay for it. And typically, our summer vacations were paid for on a credit card. We typically didn't have a lot of cash. We didn't have a lot of savings, and so we would typically rely on a credit card to pay for whatever it was, whether it was a airfare or a hotel, whatever it was. And so I was sitting down to try to kind of plan out that vacation. And I kind of quickly realized that, like I said, we didn't have any savings, no cash available. And when I looked at the time, we had 5 credit cards. All of the credit cards were close to their maximum balance. And so we didn't really have any available credit to afford the vacation on. And I went to each of the credit cards and attempted to get a credit line increase. And I was denied. Which was a good thing. Luckily, I was denied because at that moment I totaled up all of the outstanding balances on those 5 cards, and it totaled $109,000.
Wow!
And so, yeah, we had 5 cards, $109,000 worth of debt, and we had always to total $109,000. It was just, we had been living beyond our means for years, just spending on, like I said, vacations and eating out, or if something broke in the home or the car, and just using the credit cards to, you know, finance a lifestyle that we were living beyond our means. And that was really kind of the, you know, rock bottom aha moments when I realized we really had to make a change in the way we were handling our money. And we didn't take that vacation that year. We didn't go away. We didn't do anything. I did take vacation time, my wife and I, and we spent some time, you know, as a family, but we didn't, we just stayed locally. We stayed home and did some things, very, you know, free or inexpensive things. So we did have time as a family, but we just didn't take our typical vacation where we would go away and spend, you know, $3,000-$4,000 and finance it on a credit card. But we started to gather ourselves, looking, getting all of our expenses down on paper and trying to get a plan together for, you know, for our money, and realize, you know, how we could take a step, you know, forward. But I started to try to educate myself because I figured there had to be a get out of debt quick, you know, plan that somebody, you know, never told me about, or I wasn't taught in high school, or nobody told me about in college. And so I started to look at the internet, look for resources and books, and I found some personal finance blogs, and I found a book, The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. So that was a book that I picked up at my local library and read over, you know, a course of like a weekend, and started to, you know, increase my knowledge on the subject, and started to find the, you know, some reasons and some answers to how to get out of that mountain, you know, that mountain of debt.
Yeah, and you know, this is the thing with credit cards. Credit cards are such a trap. They make it so easy for people to live beyond their means. And like, I'm actually surprised, well, surprised and not, but I would have thought that the credit card company might have extended you. And like you said, it's a good thing that they didn't give you another credit increase. Because, I mean, that's how they just entrench you further. They'll stretch your limit. Okay, yeah, we'll extend your credit another $2,000. Then you get close to that mark, and now you're even more buried. It's just such a trap that they get us in. It's like it creates a perpetual cycle of debt for millions of people in this country. And, you know, a little bio on myself here, my listeners can hear this for the first time. I actually went through some credit difficulties myself back in 2000. I had to wind up filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy because I was just so inundated with all this credit card debt. I tried, you know, the don't answer the phone, hang up the phone when they call, try to avoid them, but that doesn't work for very long. So I ultimately had to restructure financially. And, you know, it's just, that's the lesson that some people learn with credit card debt. But another topic that I wanted to get into is, you know, on the topic of living beyond our means. Everyone likes to have fun. Everyone likes to, you know, we like to go on vacations. We like to do things. Now, with your debt discipline program, have you found out, or can you tell us how you can, like, make your disposable income, how you can get the most out of it, how you can stretch that dollar?
Well, it's really about finding out what's most important. You know, in your life, you know, there's a quote out there that says, you know, you can afford anything, you just can't afford everything. So you really just have to spend intentionally. So, you know, we were finding out, one of the first things we started to do was track our expenses. So finding out where our money was going each month. And we realized that we were spending a lot of money on, you know, on food, on takeout food, or, you know, eating out. And we realized if we eliminated that expense, we could save, you know, probably about $200 a month. And a lot of times we were spending that money out of convenience. We were running around with, you know, kids' activities, and we would pick up, you know, fast food. A family of five, if you grab, you know, even, you know, McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, you know, for a family of five, you could easily spend, you know, $30, $40 a meal at a place like that. And if you did that, you know, once a week over a month, you know, you could spend, you know, $150, $200 even at, you know, at any type of those places. So we looked at that and said, well, if we just bit the bullet and ate, you know, cooked at home or had some quick meals that we could make at home, we could save that money and use that money to, you know, pay down our debt or have that money for something else, put that money, save that money to help pay for our vacation at the, you know, summertime. So it was really about making choices on how we were spending our money. But the first step was understanding where our money was going. So one of the things I always recommend for people, if they're struggling with understanding, you know, where their money's going or how it's being spent, is just track your expenses. Look at your money over the 2 or 3 month period. Save all receipts or keep a record of, you know, however you track money. You know, a lot of people are using debit cards or to save all receipts, you know, look at your bank account and just understand where that money's going so that you can identify areas that maybe you want to cut back. We often fall into habits, you know, a daily cup of coffee at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or wherever you may go. You know, you could be spending $4 or $5 on a daily basis that you're just doing out of habit that you don't even realize, but over a month, that can add up to, you know, $100. But if you really, you know, your goal is to go on a vacation or, you know, buy something, if you just cut back on that habit, you might, you know, you may be able to afford that without, you know, saving money without, you know, using a credit card and you know, incurring debt. So it's really about being intentional with your, you know, with your money.
Yeah, definitely. And getting back to that $109,000 of credit card debt that you had, like, what was your strategy? How did you even begin to attack that?
We found a strategy, and it's a very common strategy. It's called a debt snowball. It's basically what you do is you list all of your debts, lowest balance first, and you attack that one. You throw as much extra above the minimum payment that you can. So, and that's where tracking expenses is important, because if you can free up, you know, if you can cut out any extra expenses that you don't need and free up some cash to throw at it. So, you know, if you have a minimum payment of $200, but you can make a $300 payment a month, you're going to pay off that balance quicker. And you attack the smallest balance, and then once that smallest balance is paid off, you take that minimum, that payment, and you roll it to the next credit, you know, debit. So if we had five, we attacked the smallest, you know, the first one, and then once that was paid off, we took that full payment that we were paying off on that first one, and we rolled it to the second. So now that second payment, say, was $100. And we were paying $300 on the first one. Now the second one is being paid at $400 per month. And so you basically start to build momentum like a snowball rolling downhill. And then we did that for every time we paid off one of the credit cards, we rolled that payment to the next one. And so increasingly those payments, as a debt got paid off, the next debt's payment got larger, and then that got paid off quicker. And so eventually the fifth credit card was the last one with the highest balance. We were ultimately making near the end, the payment per month was around $1,800. So we had about a $6,000 balance, and we paid that off in about 3 months because our payment was so high at the time. But we continued to build momentum. And what happens in, you know, behaviorally and mentally, once you pay off one of those first credits, you get a boost. So, you know, you build momentum, you feel good. All right, I had five debts and now I have four. You feel good. You it's a win.
It's like a psychological impact.
So we felt great. You know, we felt once we we paid off one, we were like, okay, now we want to really tackle the second one. We want to pay that off. So it's a very effective way to pay off debt because it helps. You see progress. You're seeing progress along the way, and you're really doing it within the payments that you're currently making. And if you can free up additional cash by cutting expenses or even earning extra income, that's another way that you can do it. If you can take on, you know, extra work or overtime or part-time job to throw extra money at it, that's an even that helps even, you know, faster way to help pay down the debt.
All right. Well, you know what? That answers my next question that I was going to ask about a hierarchy system to pay down debt. And it makes a lot of sense. You start at the smallest one, pick that one off, and then work your way up, and then just start jumping on the bigger debts, pay as much as you possibly can. And
yeah, there's another technique as well. It's called the debt avalanche, where if you have debts that are very high interest, you would tackle the highest interest first so that you pay the least interest along the way. But that could take longer. And it really depends on that could take longer, and it may not build the momentum as quickly as the debt snowball. So it really depends on your personal situation, how many debts you have and the interest rates. But those are two of the most popular techniques: the debt snowball and the debt avalanche.
Yeah. Well,
if listeners, they just do a search on those. There's a lot of information out there about those two techniques.
You know, snowballs coming down a mountain can definitely turn into an avalanche, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. And, like, I know you were talking about, like, other income opportunities. I just had a question. Do you, like, are you any kind of, like, a keynote speaker? Do you do speeches anywhere about your program to promote it?
So, I've done, that's one of the other things. Once we really built our momentum and paid off our debt, I had the sense that I really wanted to help as many other people, because it was really like a life-changing event for us, for myself and my family, because it's a big difference of having, the $109,000 or really any amount of debt, when you have a small amount or a larger amount than what we had. There's a big difference. There's a lot less stress in our lives. My wife and I communicate a lot better. We're very excited for the future of our three kids because, we've taught them a lot more about personal finance. So there's a big difference between life with debt and life after debt. And so I want to take that information and share it with as much people as possible. And so that's why I got involved in school. And then I said, well, what else can I do? How can I share this story with, adults? And I started doing, speaking. I went and approached my local library because they do have a lot of speakers and presenters that come in, and I said that might be a good place to go because it's community based. And so I approached my library, and they were very open to the idea. And so I've been speaking at local libraries for the past 2.5 years. And basically, what I do is I share our get out of debt story because I think it's important that people understand that I was in a bad spot with our finances because I think people, when you talk about money or personal finance, people are a little afraid to discuss, how much debt they have or what, money they make. So I think it's always important to lead with my failure on the topic. And then, I go over our personal story and then discuss tips and, ways that they can gain control of their finance. So I've been speaking locally. I just spoke last month during April's Financial Literacy Literacy Month at a local library and had a group of about 25 people. And I had, you know, people in from 20 years old to, you know, 70 years old at the presentation. And they were in, I asked for a feedback sheet and asked if they could give me their, how much debt they're in. And I think I collected, the group was in about $600,000 worth of debt.
Wow, all 25 people?
The point is, you know, you're not alone. If you're in debt, there are people out there that are just like you and looking, all age ranges that are, you know, looking for help, you know, on the information. And that's really the point of my presentation, saying, you know, look, I've been out there. We did a lot of stupid things with our money. I'm looking to try to help you, give you some information where you can, you know, hopefully, you know, turn things around for yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, especially the people that were in the age range close to 70, I mean, I would imagine that those people probably still working, but they're probably like, okay, how am I going to be able to retire with this much debt? So, you know, it's an interesting that you have from 20 to 70, those age ranges. It just goes to show that everybody faces, you know, could face problems in terms of financial debt.
Yeah, no, I had an elderly couple come into one of my presentations one time, and I actually thought they were in the wrong room, in the wrong presentation. The gentleman walked in with a cane, and he had to be, you know, well into his late 70s, and I really thought they were in the wrong presentation. And he sat in and listened, and at the end of the presentation, he started asking me questions about, and he said he just retired, and he sold his business, and he was in business debt. And I mean, this man,
after selling his business,
and they had to be in their, you know, mid to late 70s, and so he had just retired, you know, mid 70s, you know, sold the business, and he was looking to clean up his business debt. And I was shocked that, you know, he was a business owner, but he was still looking to, you know, do the right thing, you know, clean up his debts. But to somebody who was later in life and was still struggling for answers on how to, you know, clean up debt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just surprised that he sold the business and still had residual debt. That's...
I was a little, perplexed at his situation, but I tried to help him as much as possible and gave him some resources to hopefully, help him, you know, get on his way.
All right, and when it comes to debt, like, what kind of debts could be open for negotiation to try to get the best possible interest rate? Because that can definitely impact your ability to pay that debt down.
Well, yeah, most unsecured debts, you know, credit cards, credit card companies, they will work with you. Their main goal, obviously, is to be paid back in full. But there are some, you know, so you can contact them directly and work with them to try to lower the interest rate. But there are some, and most people don't know this, but most of your banks, most of your larger banks, and even your credit unions have a lot of resources. But you can look at your banks for credit counseling and information on debt and debt reduction. And they have a number of programs that could help you negotiate with your creditors to help reduce your interest rate as well. And most of those services are free because you are a member of that bank, whether it's a credit union or, you know, one of the larger banks, Chase, Bank of America, those type of things. A number of those banks have, you know, free services to their members, so it's worth checking out. And then there are a number of nonprofit companies that work with consumers to help lower interest rates. It's called DMP, Debt Management Program. few companies. One that comes to mind is a company called GreenPath, which does, they help you manage repayment, and they help also work with your creditors. They'll work with credit cards, car loans to help lower interest rates so that your more of your payment is going towards principal and less towards interest. So there's a number of options out there. It's just really about finding what's best. But you can certainly just start with contacting your creditor directly and trying to negotiate yourself. You may get a no answer right away when you speak to the first rep that you get on the phone, but sometimes you have to escalate it to a supervisor, manager. But persistence is the best. Sometimes when trying to negotiate yourself.
All right, and here's a good question. When it comes to being, for people like homeowners like myself that have a mortgage, we're trying to pay it off, and my brother John, your friend John you went to school with, he had actually paid down his house. He had, it was like a, he bought it when the, real estate market was down, so he capitalized. He got a great price for a great house, but he was able to pay it down very quickly. What would be, like, is there any kind of a magic number for what you have to add above the mortgage payment to try to pay it down? And if so, like what's the time frame? Like, how do you effectively pay down your mortgage as quick as possible?
I think the key is really to, with a mortgage, is try to eliminate any other outstanding debt first. So any other, credit cards or student loans or any other debt. The key is really not to try to do too many things at once, because if you lose focus if you're trying to do 10 things at once. So it's really come up with a plan. Typically a mortgage is going to be your largest debt. So if you use the debt snowball method, that would be the last debt that you try to tackle. So you want to tackle any one of those smaller debts first, and then really use, leave the mortgage debt for the last debt. But when you get to the mortgage debt, you should have the most available cash to be able to throw at it. And then depending on, it's really going to depend on, what the balance is and how much available cash you have. But you should be able to then throw as much cash as you can at it. And then it's really going to depend on, what other lifestyle, sacrifices you want to make. Do you want to really cut, how far you want to cut back? But then if you tackle it, approach it that way, by eliminating any other debts that you have, that puts you in the best position and the quickest position to be able to pay off a mortgage. By eliminating all the other debts, you'll have as much available cash to throw out the mortgage. And then depending on, like I said, what are the things you want to do, whether you want to take a vacation that year or not, you'll have as much cash as possible. Typically, they say it's between, in that situation, the average is between 5 and 7 years to pay off the mortgage.
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive. You can get it within that short of a time frame.
Yeah. And just think of that. Think of your monthly, typically the mortgage is your highest, your biggest bill per month. Just think of your monthly budget without a mortgage payment.
Oh, yeah.
How much available cash you would have to do other things with if you didn't have a, mortgage payment, per month.
Oh, that would create a lot of disposable income, which you can then turn around and invest that, go on more vacations. Absolutely.
Right. You'd be able to build wealth very quickly without a big monthly payment.
Yeah, definitely. Without that looming over your head. Absolutely. That is such an advantage. And I myself, I'm trying to get there. I'm making extra payments on my mortgage when I can. Anything to pay down to save what the overall interest will be getting paid. So I'm definitely on my way, chipping away at it, which is a good way to do it.
Yeah, no, even if you have extra money along the way, try to do too many things at once sometimes and just lose focus. So I think it's important just to try to focus on some of the smaller debts first if you have outstanding debts. Because if you're trying to do extra payments on everything all at once, it's just too many things at once, and you're all over the place. So you want to try to stay hyper focused on the smallest debt, and that way you can build momentum and move to the next one.
Yeah, build that snowball, turn it into an avalanche.
Yes, exactly.
All right, now, when it comes to saving money or paying off debt, what do you consider more important, saving or trying to pay off the debt, or is there a way you can do both?
Well, I think it's important to have a small savings, depending on your income, and you should have a small emergency fund, a savings fund, $1,000, $500, or $1,000. When we were paying off our debt, we maintained a $1,000 emergency fund, just for if an appliance blew up, or if we had a flat tire, those type of things, and so we didn't have to dip back into any type of credit or debt, so that we could survive when life happens. And there were things along the way that occurred, a dishwasher blew up, or windshield cracked, those type of things. And we would use that cash, savings for those things, and then replenish it. But our focus was, getting the debt paid off. And then once we were out of that debt, we increased that savings and it depends. It's a personal decision. But we increased that to like a 3 to 6 month savings based on your monthly budget. So if you spend $3,000 a month on to cover all of your costs, you may want to have somewhere between $9,000 and $18,000 saved just for emergencies, just the job loss or whatever it may be. So you have that cash savings to cover any of those expenses. Like I said, then just as we were having the discussion about the mortgage, once you eliminate all of those debts, you have that excess cash to then build, very quickly be able to build wealth or save money. So I think that's the key, is have that small savings as you're getting out of debt, and then once you're out of debt, you're able to very quickly build savings, cash savings for larger emergencies, and then the build wealth through investing or whatever way you choose.
All right, great. And any final words of advice for our listeners out there when it comes to debt as we wrap things up here?
I think it's just important to start, just start looking at it from increasing your knowledge on the subject. And one of the most important things is, if you're serious about getting out of debt, is to stop building any new debt today, right? So if you're living beyond your means and you're in debt, you have to stop accumulating new debt today. Put the credit cards down, stop, the line of credit on the home, those type of things. And it's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to sting, because you're used to that behavior, but you have to just stop, today. Put the credit cards away, cut them up.
Put them in the blender.
Going to take. And the first couple months will be difficult because you're changing your behavior and you're not used to it. But when you look back on it in 6 months from now or a year, you're going to say to yourself, man, I wish I would have done this, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I would encourage people, because there are a number of stories out there, mine included, where we've seen the light and we're much happier, a lot less stress, without the big cloud of debt hanging over ourselves. So I can tell you from personal experience that it's a big change, and I think you'd be glad that you took took the step and began.
And then once again, tell people about your website, that discipline. And also tell my listeners where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's debtdiscipline.com. That's the website. I'm on Twitter at debtdiscipline. It's Facebook. There's a Facebook page at Facebook/ debtdiscipline. They can email me. It's Brian at debtdiscipline.com. Certainly open to any questions people have, or there's a number of resources that they can find on the website. Certainly happy to answer any questions, or if any questions, or anybody needs any information, certainly happy to help. You check out the website, and a number of pieces of information there as well. I have a budget page that kind of outlines a starting budget for somebody looking to get a budget together. A number of resources out there.
All right, great. And hey, Brian, I want to thank you once again for being on my show. I definitely learned a lot. My listeners learned a little something too. So we're going to take that info and we're going to run with it and get ourselves out of debt. And on that note, I would just like to say that it has been another successful delivery.